This is the 50th anniversary of the Interstate Highway System. Frank Morris of member station KCUR Kansas City spent some time on I-70, the cradle of the system.
Just after World War I, Dwight Eisenhower, then a young Army officer, led a military convoy across the United States. The trip took 62 days. By 1955, he'd seen Germany's Autobahn and the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and there was a movement afoot to modernize American roads. Ike took the wheel.
A modern highway system is essential to meet the needs of our growing population, our expanding economy, and our national security.
A year and a half later, a half century ago today, Eisenhower signed legislation creating the interstate system. The first section was started in Missouri, but the first one completed was in Ike's home state.
Standing on Interstate 70, just west of Topeka, Kansas, the next 8 miles here, going into the Flint Hills, were the first 8 miles of interstate finished in this country. So this is where the interstate started, and then it spread out for 46,000 miles. So from this spot, I can make it almost any major city in the United States in 24 hours. In 1956, that was revolutionary.
Dan McNichol, an author based in Boston, is driving a 51 Hudson across the country as part of a convoy set to arrive in Washington, D.C. today.
Indisputable. It is the largest single project in the history of the world. If you look at the Great Wall of China, look at the pyramids, look at the Panama or Suez canals, this trumps them all.
McNichol says this epic system replaced a patchwork of roads that, in addition to being slow, rough, and congested, were much more deadly.
Its brilliance and its genius is in that it is predictable. When you drive around a corner, when you switch state lines, it's all the same, and that keeps you alive.
Those predictable roads make for more reliable shipping and efficient just-in-time delivery. The trucking industry's grown more than 15-fold since the interstates were built. But Barnard College history professor Owen Gutfreund says that while they've helped commerce, they've hurt major cities, and almost by design.
The engineers that planned the system really wanted to be able to skip cities. Cities were seen as bottlenecks, traffic problems, overcrowded areas that motorists ought not to have to get stuck in.
Thousands of city blocks were bulldozed to build freeways, which then siphoned residents and businesses out. Instead of growing from town centers, suburbs now spread from interstate exits.
Couple steps down.
Tracy Quillen, director of the Johnson County Museum in suburban Shawnee, Kansas, shows off a half-century-old garage door opener in the museum's 1950s ranch house, which features an attached garage.
So the car literally moves in with the family. It's got its own special room, and it really changes the whole culture. And you've got drive-in movies, drive-in restaurants. The whole culture starts to revolve around the automobile and the convenience of not really having to leave your car.
All that time in the car has produced major headaches for some small towns. The exit off I-70 at Oak Grove, Missouri is a good example. Semi-trucks and cars clog the off-ramps. In a crush to reach a myriad of fast food joints, chain hotels, gas stations, and truck stops. But a mile away, the town itself is quiet, some say dead. Longtime resident Ron Kingston is unimpressed with what the interstate has brought.
Jesse James was a rank amateur compared to these gas stations up here on the freeway. I wish they'd get them all out of there. Then we'd have a nice little town, like it used to be.
But the tens of thousands of miles of interstate are here to stay. And they've influenced development across this country, much like the railroads and the rivers before them. For NPR News, I'm Frank Morris in Kansas City.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Susan Stamberg.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.